Well, is anyone excited to be at church today? Resurrection Sunday. Come on, come on. For those of you watching us online, we're glad that you're following along as well. And we have liftoff. We have liftoff. And we showed you that video today because we are about to, next week, go on a journey as a church family through the book of Acts. We're going to be going verse by verse through the book of Acts. And we'll be in there, I don't know how long, but it's going to be awesome. We're going to have a lot of fun. And it's going to be powerful. It's going to be explosive, as we just saw. And you know what's funny is we planned that 6 months ago, having no idea that Artemis was going to be launched this week. I had no, honestly, had no clue. And here we are going back around the moon, and never could have planned that, but that's pretty cool. So I think God's got something special for us, okay? Because we can't make that stuff up. But before we see the liftoff, the book of Acts is about the local church, the greatest startup of all being started. Before the liftoff of the church, we saw the liftoff of Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, who ascended into heaven. But before the liftoff of him ascending into heaven, we had him lift up out of the grave. Amen? And then, yeah, you can clap for that. Come on. But before he lifted up out of the grave, we know that he was crucified on a cross and then was put into an empty tomb. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about the period right between the burial of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus. And let's just say things were getting a little spicy. In fact, I want you to turn to the person next to you, and I want you to just say, drop the spice. Yeah, drop the spice. Now, some of you are like, now, I'm not saying, like, drop the spice of your favorite hot sauce in the kitchen, okay? I'm not talking about that sick rap that you've got, you know, flowing in your head that you just want to lay down the beat. Keep it to yourself. It's fine. I'm also not talking about specifically the sass that some of you, especially you teenagers, are dishing out these days to your parents. This is a good elbow time for you parents with teenagers. At least I know how that feels these days. I'm talking about a very specific spice that needed to be dropped when the followers of Jesus was walking to the tomb, because they were carrying spices. And back in that culture, when someone would die, when a loved one would die, they would buy spices. We buy flowers. They bought spices. And in the first century, as you would bury loved ones in Jewish tradition, they would bring linen cloths to drape on them, and then put different aloes and myrrh and oils to put on their loved ones. Not to preserve the bodies like the Egyptians did, but they did it to literally, out of reverence and custom and care and honor, to slow the decay, to literally delay the decay of the deceased. But here's the situation. Them walking to the tomb with spices was showing what they were expecting. Because, right, what you are preparing, anything in life, it reveals what you are expecting. And so the hope for this message today is that as we're going through this, is we're going to see what they were expecting, what they were preparing for, and how they were responding. And my hope is as we go through this text that all of us will be open to say, okay, as we move towards God, as we move towards Jesus, what are the things in our lives that shouldn't be in there? What are some things in our lives that we need to drop? Just like they needed to drop those spices, what type of stuff do we need to drop in our life? And no matter where you're at on your journey with this, you know, maybe you've heard this story hundreds or maybe thousands of times. Or maybe this is the first time you'll ever hear this incredible, real historical event that took place. Has the power to change your life. My hope is that all of us will just be humble enough to say, okay, I'm here. Help me to be open to drop whatever God might want me to drop. Okay? So that's the goal. That's the focus. But before we dive in, I just want to pray for us. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your resurrection. Thank you so much for being a God that loved us so much, that paid the penalty for our sin. We deserved it. We deserved your wrath. We deserved your judgment, but you paid it for us. And so we thank you for that gift. We thank you for loving us so much that you would do that. And then rising from the dead to truly give us life, to truly give us hope. It's unbelievable. And so God, I just ask that you would do what you've been doing for thousands of years, that you would speak so clearly and directly, that your Holy Spirit would just move through minds and hearts in only the way that you can do it. And so, Father, please get me out of the way as always. And I just pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, hey, if you have a Bible, I'm going to ask you to open it up to the book of Luke. That's in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, third book in. If you don't have a Bible, it will be on the screen. But Luke chapter 24, we're going to be diving into this incredible, real historical event. And again, this is just after Jesus was crucified and he was put into the tomb to pay for the penalty for the sins of the world. And then 3 days later, check out what happens. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And so here you've got some ladies. You got Mary Magdalene. You've got Mary, the mother of James. You got Joanna and some other ladies going to the tomb with spices to finish the job that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus apparently didn't do a good enough job. That's been a joke for hundreds and hundreds of years. And all the ladies are like, yeah, we're always trying to clean up what the guys didn't finish or didn't do right. You know what I mean? And so there they go. But as they went to this tomb, as I said, they were carrying spices for the burial. But the fact that they were walking to the tomb with these spices shows us something very, very clear. That they expected a dead body. They didn't expect a risen Jesus. And so they were literally, in a sense, walking to the tomb, yes, with reverence and custom and tradition, but with defeat, with low expectation, not expecting a miracle as they walked towards Jesus. And it got me thinking, that's how some of us are today. That's how some of you are today. You walked into this room. As we walk through circumstances, sometimes we can walk through those circumstances feeling pretty deflated. And some of you feel that way today because whatever's going on, it's so heavy in your mind right now, it's hard for you to even pay attention to me. But you feel those difficulties and you've got low expectations and you got your head down. And maybe, just maybe, you walked into Easter Sunday this morning because God wanted to tell you to drop the spice of defeat in your life with whatever you're facing. And here's why. Because we know something that they didn't know yet. Jesus is alive, baby. Jesus rose from the dead. And so whatever difficult circumstance that we could ever face in this earth, we know that we can have victory and have hope and blow right through that because Jesus is alive. But if you're like me, sometimes I'm still like, well, it is what it is. Or that's never going to change. Or when is God going to speak? Because I don't understand why this is happening. And sometimes I can fall into the trap of feeling deflated and feeling defeated. I don't know if you can relate, but I feel that way sometimes. And sometimes maybe for you, you're sitting in the room and you're constantly just preparing, in a sense, living in that defeat. And maybe you're saying, like, you're just continually expecting or just preparing for your marriage to fail. It's just never going to get better. And you just keep preparing for that. Or you keep expecting that that addiction is always going to have victory over your life. Or you're just preparing that that diagnosis is always just going to define you. Or that sin that's just like a broken record over and over and over again. Instead of hating that sin, I'm just going to keep loving that sin. And you just feel defeated. And this morning, I just want to encourage you that today, I believe God is telling you to say, drop the spice of defeat and prepare for resurrection hope. Because God is still at work. He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. Romans 8 reminds us that God does work all things according to his purposes for the good for those who are in Christ Jesus. But you got to be in Christ Jesus for that to make sense. I love how James reminds us of this. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And so whatever difficulty or that thing that's so heavy on you right now, don't waste it. Don't stay in the defeat. Don't stay in the deflatement. And know that God is still working and that Jesus is alive and that there is hope in any circumstance and situation that you're facing. I'm not saying it's easy, but there is hope. There is hope. So they went into the tomb. They're there. So kind of just picture this again, like picture this scene as these ladies are going and they see that the tomb is empty and they're looking around and they're like, where the heck is Jesus? Like, what in the world is going on? And so here's what happens next in verse 4. It says, while they were perplexed about this, which I would too, I'd be shocked to be like, what in the world? It says, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. These were two angels. We know from the other gospel accounts. And as they were frightened, it says that they bowed their faces to the ground. Wouldn't you? I'm like, holy smoke, like, literally like on the ground. And the men said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? Notice that question. Notice what they didn't ask. They didn't ask like, why do you honor him? Why do you respect him? Why do you do these traditions for him? It was very specific. In fact, can we just say this question together out loud? Come on. Why do you seek the living among the dead? This question was way beyond an empty tomb. This question was cutting right to the core. It's basically saying, where do you find your life? Where do you find your purpose? Do you find your purpose in life and your money? Do you find your purpose in life and your success? Do you find your purpose in life and relationships? Like, what's the core of your purpose and your life? Because remember, these women came to the tomb, yes, with bringing spices of devotion. They came, yes, of reverence, of respect. But they came to that tomb, yes, with all of that, but they didn't come with the resurrection reality. For whatever reason, they didn't believe what Jesus said he was going to do, or maybe they just didn't understand it. And so, yes, they came with the custom and the reverence and the respect, and but not with a resurrection reality. And it just got me thinking again today that some of you have walked into this room on Easter Sunday, maybe in the same way. You're coming, like, bringing honor to Jesus, and you're going to respect Jesus, and you're going to do the traditions of Jesus, and you're going to maybe sing about Jesus like we just did, and maybe you'll even say a prayer to Jesus, but you don't have resurrection power invading your life. And so maybe, just maybe, the Holy Spirit is going to ask you today to drop the spice of dead religion and pick up and start up an alive, a living, real relationship with God. You know, I want to be sensitive here to this, but it just, through the years of following Jesus and getting the privilege to get to lead a church, and I just talk to so many people that just get so trapped in dead religion. And sometimes I'm just like, why do you do it? Like, I don't know if I could do it if it's really not alive. You know, it's so easy to get caught into the culture. Like, we're Americans, and so we do the Jesus thing on Christmas and Easter, and we kind of do the thing. And then people get caught into the guilt of it. People, some of my friends, that get guilted by grandparents or great-grandparents that have been in the grave for a long time, and they're still guilted by people that aren't even here anymore. I got to do this thing, and I got to do this thing. And you don't even understand why you're doing it, and you're just doing it just because. And it's dead, and you know it. But you just still do it, just that's what we do, and we don't talk about it. And you're trapped in a dead religion that doesn't really mean anything. Or the other one that just, I've defined it as the religion of good, where people are trapped into the religion of good. And maybe some of you are here. We're literally, in your mind, you're thinking, if I do enough good, that maybe, just maybe, it'll outdo my bad. And you think that in the end that God will just kind of wave his magic wand over that and everything will be okay and disappear. And I don't know where that comes from. Actually, I do know where. It comes from the pit of hell. It's a lie to try to deceive so many of you really good people. Because you all seem like pretty good people in the room. But we forget the truth that for the wages of one sin equals death. And we forget that every other false religion in the world is like, we got to figure out our way to get our way up to God. Where the one true God said, no, that's not how it works. I'm going to come down to you. And I'm going to pay the penalty for your sin that you can't pay or fix on your own. And that's why I died on the cross. And that's why I conquered the grave 3 days later to prove that I am God, to give you life, to give you hope, to give you resurrection for your life. And we have to get to the point as people, just to be honest, to say like, okay, yeah, trying to be good, that's dead religion. That ain't going to work. We have to get to the point to realize that God laid himself down for us. So now in response, we have to lay ourselves down for him and say, you're the king and you're the only one that can save me. And so maybe for some of you today, you just need to drop the spice of dead religion and start a real, alive, powerful, living, breathing, real relationship with a God that wants to interact with you. It's amazing. It's incredible. It doesn't have to be dead, guys. It's alive. So they're in the tomb, and the angels, they're having this conversation with the angels, and then notice what he says, verse 6. He's not here. He's not here, but he has risen. He's not here, but he's risen. And then he says, remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful man and that, you know, he was to be crucified and then on the third day he would rise. I imagine it was almost like a, hello, anyone in there? It's got me thinking this morning, I'm so thankful for a God that I'm a knucklehead, right? And I'm so thankful for a God that has to remind me over and over again, hey, Travis, my way is way better than the world's way, brother. Hey, Travis, hey, son, my way is way better than your way. Aren't you thankful, Jesus follower, that we have a God that keeps reminding us? Because we're so forgetful and knuckleheads. It's unbelievable. So here we are, verse 8. And it's like the aha moment for these ladies. And all of a sudden it says, and they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was their aha moment. Now, the text doesn't explicitly say this, so I'm reading into this a little bit, so go here with me. But I got to think in that moment. Remember, they're walking to the tomb carrying the spices. It never tells us when they let them go or set them down. So I'm just going to assume they're still holding on to the spices. And I wonder if one of the ladies looked down at the spices and one of the spices that they would use was myrrh. And I wonder if one of the ladies looked down as she held the spices and said, wait a second, I'm bringing myrrh to his burial. And that's the same spice that was brought to him at his birth. And I wonder if when they said that they remembered, if it all started to play back for them. Oh my goodness. It was foretold that the Savior of the world would be born in Bethlehem. It was foretold that the Savior of the world would be born of a virgin. It was foretold that the Savior of the world would be crushed for our iniquities and pierced for our sins. It was told, not to mention another 300 plus prophecies that Jesus fulfilled to the detail, not to mention everything that he said, that he would be delivered, that he would be crucified, that he would rise again. And I imagine in that moment, they were like, oh my goodness, Jesus Christ truly is the Son of God. He really is who he said he is. And then notice what happens in this moment. They don't just sit there at the empty tomb, scratching their head and being like, well, I'm not quite sure. I think I need a little more information. Maybe someone stole the body. Like, wait, stole the body? This is the most guarded tomb ever in the history of the world with Roman soldiers and a Roman seal. No one's stealing that body.
They didn't need anything else. They heard. They saw the empty tomb, and they ran. And again, the text doesn't say this, but at some point, like, they had to, you know, drop. So I just want to make sure you guys are awake. They wanted to drop. They dropped that empty, they dropped the spices, and they ran. And they ran to tell everyone that Jesus is alive. Now, here's the danger. For some of you, you're not like those ladies. And you're still lingering at the tomb. And I wonder, just maybe God might be asking you to drop the spice of your delayed obedience. And you're sitting there like, well, I need more information. And it's like you've heard this message, and it's gone in one ear and out the other. You've heard it before. You've seen the transformation in other people's lives, and yet you still need something more. And you're just like, whatever. I'll just worry about that tomorrow, but not today. We'll just kind of see what happens. And I would just say, drop the spice of delayed obedience. What are you waiting for? Like, what more do you need to know? Listen, I've done dozens of messages on the evidence of the resurrection. And I literally could stand up here for hours explaining to you all the pieces of evidence that Jesus truly is who he said he was and that he rose from the dead. This isn't some fairy tale make-believe thing. But see, I don't know what's tripping you up. I don't know what's tripping you up or you up or you up that's keeping you from understanding that Jesus truly is God and rose from the dead to save you from your sins. And so you're smart. And we live in the technological world. Look it up. Like, I say that respectfully, I'm not trying, but seriously, like, what are you waiting for? Because if you're not careful, you're going to miss it. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. And you're going to be at your tomb, and if you're at your tomb and you haven't surrendered your life to Jesus, the word is so clear that you will perish an eternity in pain. Listen, eternity is real. You don't just stop existing. Heaven is real. And hell is real. And maybe you don't like that. Don't be mad at me. You can take that up with God. God is real. And he made you real. So therefore, he created good and he created evil. And that's why there's heaven and hell. But don't forget, I say this all the time. That's why when he was here, he taught more and talked more about hell than he talked about heaven. Why? So that none would perish. Because he loves you so much and he was making a way for you to be restored. You just got to humble yourself and get out of the way and realize that you can't save yourself, only he can. Drop the spice of your delayed obedience and run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. What are you waiting for? Well, how do I do that, Travis? He made it so clear. It's not necessarily easy, but he made it very clear, and he made it very simple. Notice this, Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. It's unbelievable. So what does that mean? So when you confess with your mouth that you're a sinner and you own that, like I own that, and that he's the only one that can save you, and that's why he died on the cross, when you confess that and then you believe in your heart that he's Lord, and you say, okay, I'm not going to try to be king or queen of my life. I'm going to surrender and let him be the king and the Lord of my life. When you get to that point and you truly mean that, you will be saved.
So maybe you need to drop the spice of your delayed obedience. It's a full circle, okay? If I lost you for a second, just come back with me, okay? We saw a group of ladies this morning moving towards God, moving towards Jesus, with some doubt, with some defeat, and with some dead religion. But then after they experienced the empty tomb, they left changed because of their belief in a risen Savior. What about you? Because maybe some of you walked in here today, if you're honest, with some doubt, with some defeat, some dead religion. Are you going to walk out of here the same? Or are you going to walk out of here changed with belief in a risen Savior? Drop your delayed obedience and run to Jesus. And if you've never done that, then I want to help you do that right now. And so I'm just going to ask us all around the room to just bow our heads and close our eyes in a prayer. If you are a Jesus follower, I'm going to ask you so boldly right now to be a part of my prayer team. And you pray for people that have never received Jesus as their Savior. And so if that's you today, if you'd say, Travis, I don't understand at all, but I understand this. I can't save myself. I know I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. And I believe that Jesus is the only one who can do it. If that's you and you've never done that, I want to give you a template prayer right at your seat. You're going to pray it right at your seat. It's not a magical prayer. It's just a template, and you make it your own, okay? And so before I pray this, I want to know who I'm praying with, okay? I'm not going to, like, embarrass you or something or call you out. I just want to know who I'm praying with. So I'm going to count to three. And if you want Jesus to save you, if you've never put your faith in Jesus and you're ready to surrender and stop putting it off till tomorrow, then I'm going to count to three, and I just want you to raise your hand so I know who I'm praying with, okay? One, two, three. Just raise your hand so I can see. Just hold it up. Amen, 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 amen. Amen, brother, I see you. I see you in the back, ma'am. I see you over there. I see you right there, amen. Anyone else, have the courage. You're just raising your hand, it's okay. Just raise your hand, just put it up. I see you, amen. Okay, I see you, praise the Lord. Okay, this is amazing, okay? So, real relationship, not religious, between you and God. Here's a template. I just want you to say this out loud to him. Say it in your heart. Just say this. Just say, I surrender. Just say that. I surrender. And then say this. Forgive me of my sin. Just say that to him. Forgive me of my sin. And then just say, thank you for paying the penalty for my sin. And then also just say something like, thank you for rising again for me. And then just declare this. Just say, I believe that you, Jesus, are God. Tell him that. Okay. And then lastly, just say this. Just say, I humble myself. And I receive you, Jesus, to be the King, to be the Lord of my life. So as we continue to pray, if you truly meant that for real, then as we've already declared, you will no longer perish, but now you're saved. You're saved. Forever changed. Not to mention
He promises now, because of your obedience, that he's giving you the power of his Holy Spirit that's literally has moved in. He's in your life to be your helper now and as you step into eternity. It's so good. So, Father, thank you so much for being a God that saves us, that heals us, that restores us. Thank you for how you've moved. Only you could move in each one of these people's lives, forever changing their destiny. We love you, and together we say amen and rejoice with the angels for those who have come to know you as their Savior. Amen. Amen.